Pleased to welcome the audience right now listening, our inaugural show of Soccer on the Rise podcast. My name is Thomas Neff, and joining me is my partner, Juan Pablo Avendaño.
How are you, Thomas? Pleased to talk to you again.
So, I just want to start off by saying thank you so much to Mike Kovac, the owner of Last Word on Sports, and Last Word on Soccer site manager, Matt Pollard, for this opportunity. Couldn't be more grateful, you know, to have a voice in this podcast to now be on radio and express our views on air.
Yes, I mean, Last Word on Soccer, you know what it means in terms of Canadian soccer. So we're really, really grateful for the opportunity to work with them. And we hope this will be good for the audience.
Absolutely. And it's always great talking to other soccer minds around North America. So let's begin a little bit with in current events. The Canadian national team, John Herdman announced his 23-man roster quite early, actually, 2 weeks before the U.S. match that's happening in Toronto at BMO Field. Juan, let's go through the names one by one, shall we? I'll start sure. With the goalkeepers. Milan Borjan, Red Star Belgrade. He's the clear number one and favorite. Maxim Kropot returns after an outstanding season with the Vancouver Whitecaps. The big surprise is Marco Carducci, who wasn't selected. Instead, Herdman selected Jason Lutwiler, who I don't really understand this call-up, to be honest. He is a backup at Blackburn Rovers in the English Championship. He has not played, so I don't understand the thinking behind there, you know, to call him from over England. Definitely, he's 30 years old, so Carducci, James being 23 apiece, and guys like James Pantemis and Dane Sinclair from Minnesota United. I think they have a much higher ceiling in terms of projection. Juan, get us started with the left backs.
Well, just to close the things about the goalkeepers, yes, as you said, Jason Lutwiler only has played on the English Football League Cup. No games still on the English Championship. So that was a weird call by John Herdman, but we'll see what happens. Well, let's go with the defense, right? Let's start. Let's see. Juan Cordoba, we have for the right backs, Richie Laria also. Juan Cordoba, the Chilean-Canadian who plays for Huachipato in the first division of the Chilean league, and then Richie Laria, who plays of course for Toronto FC. 20 games played this season. I think it's going to be quite a good opportunity for him to play in the right back.
Absolutely. I think that after the Gold Cup, where Canada lost against Haiti, which was a really, really tough blow to take, John decided to take a gamble on these two 21-year-old right backs, Marcos Gudinho and Zach Bolgillard. And after that, he just decided that maybe it was time to try out the other options that he had. And the other options that he had were a little bit more mature, 24-year-olds, both in Richie Laria and Juan Cordoba. And it looks like it's working out for him. You know, Richie Laria right now is the number one guy at the moment, as he's a star with his club, TFC. But I think it could be very interesting in the future. So the left back position. Sam Adekube returns from Norway, playing at Vålerenga in the first division there. I think he has to be the solidified number one left back, in my opinion.
Yes, yes, he has eight games played for the national team. And sorry, you said it also. Kamal Miller from Orlando City with 15 games played this season in the MLS, but only one cap for the Canadian national team.
Yeah, I think Kamal Miller has surprised a lot of people. He's turned heads at Orlando. At the same time, Orlando is a club that has been known for giving Canadians a chance as well. So when he was drafted in the MLS draft, a lot of people didn't really have him playing at all, really. And he's really surprised. You know, he's really moved from the center back to that left back spot, and it looks like the Orlando coach trusts him, you know. But let's talk about the big news, which is the center back position. I think this is a position that Canada is very, very, very weak at. I'm sure a lot of people would agree on that. So right now, let's look at the four center backs that were called. Steven Vitoria from Morense at the Primera Liga. Derek Cornelius, Doniel Henry, and Amir Didic. So let's talk about these one by one. So obviously, Steve Vitória being the oldest, 32 years old, you know, in the Portuguese first division, I think he has to get the start. Daniel Henry is one of our top two without a chance. The only problem is that he's actually suspended. So I honestly don't understand why John would call up a guy who can't play, especially in the 23-man roster. I think select your 23 that's eligible to play, and then if you want, you can get the 24th, which could be a training player. Derek Cornelius, you know, he's a guy that has already 10 caps at 21 years old. He's been playing for Canada, you know. John already trusts him in that role. And Amir Didic from the CPL, he is the second player from the league to be called up. And interesting, second on burden as well. This is what he had to say about his call-up in the press conference the other night.
Yeah, I mean, obviously with Marco Carducci being the first one getting called up sets a precedent for other players in, around the league. And it should motivate everyone. It motivated me particularly. So it's interesting that it's both from Alberta, if you think about it. But it should be everyone's goal to get on the radar of the national team. And it's, thankfully, we have a league here in Canada now where we can progress and build and strive for that. Even Jeff, Sean, Vic, the whole Lars, the whole coaching staff, even the physios, especially with that injury early in the year, they've all done wonders in pushing me in certain ways. And full credit to them for them bringing me aboard at the beginning of the season. Or else I would not be in the situation that I am right now. And everything that's happened this season is a direct result of what they've been able to do for me and the team.
Interesting. So we heard from Amir Didic himself following the FC Edmonton defeat against Forge FC at Clark Field. He praised Jeff Paulus, his head coach, on his development in this first year of the Canadian Premier League. And he said he was on a mission. His mission was to get to the Canadian national team. He got it on this first season ever of the Canadian Premier League. So I think he's going to be pretty happy, and he has a big responsibility to represent his club.
Certainly. So let's move now into the midfielders, shall we? In midfielders, we have Samuel Piette. You know, he's a regular, 44 caps, 24 years old, Montreal Impact product. Jonathan Osorio as well. He's already a figure there. Russell Tybert, no surprise there. The captain, Scott Arfield, is back from Glasgow Rangers in Scotland. Marc-Anthony Kaye, who's having an unbelievable year at LAFC with coach Bob Bradley. He is also in the nomination. First call up to Stefan Eustachio of Cruz Azul in the Liga MX. We had a chance to speak with his brother, Mauro Eustachio, and how he was adapting to Mexican football. And it was a very, very interesting conversation. So if you want to kind of check back at one of my previous videos and kind of go on my Twitter at ThomasNeff2 and hit on my YouTube channel, you can find that interview there. To finish off with the midfielders, Liam Fraser finishes the list. The big surprise in the midfield, I guess we should say surprise, but not really, I guess you could say, is Atiba Hutchinson. This is a guy that he said he would retire at the Gold Cup, but never really made it official. So the fact that he hasn't been called up both in September and now in October at the age of 36, you know, playing semi-regularly for Beşiktaş, the Turkish club, I think this could be a signal that that Atiba Hutchinson is gone and that they've sent him out on his way out.
Yes, it may be, but I think all the Canadian soccer fans will be sad to not have Atiba back in the national team. I mean, he's an icon of Canadian soccer, playing a lot of long career in Europe, specifically in Beşiktaş and also other teams. But he has a lot of things. I still think he has a lot to give to the younger players, not only on the pitch, but maybe off the pitch. You know, I think it's very important not to only focus on what players can do in the field, like playing. We know Atiba is not the youngest of the players, but with all his experience, he can give a lot still to the younger players in the Canadian national team.
Absolutely. I think if I were to think what Atiba Hutchinson's role would be in the future, definitely something to do with football. I think he's someone that loves the game, is passionate about it, and I would love to see him kind of in a sporting director role, something, you know, that's kind of very similar in Europe, but hasn't really been implemented in the North American system per se. And in coaching as well, he has said publicly that he'd love to, you know, be the academy coach of Besiktas, whether him and his family, his wife and his son, take the decision to come back to Canada or to North America at all, or stay in Istanbul. I think that's a very personal decision. But whatever he decides, I think he could definitely bring a lot of wealth of experience and bring that experience back and showcase the young guys what it takes to make it to that level. You know, he's a guy that's played Champions League, not only played Champions League, Europa League, but has also played Eredivisie and Danish Superliga, which in my view is top. We're talking about top 15 leagues in Europe. To finish off in the nomination, let's talk a little bit about the forwards. The five forwards are announced, and the big omission, who is Kyle Lahren. Juan, I'll let you take this one.
Okay, yes, for sure. We'll start with Lucas Cavallini, who is having a good season so far. Only one goal, but he's very loved by the Puebla fans in Liga MX. Then, of course, Jonathan David, arguably maybe one of the best strikers, talking about Canadian players, of course. He's playing more than Alfonso Davies, who is, of course, also playing for Bayern Munich. But Jonathan David, he's having a great season so far. 6 goals, 8 games played for Ghent in the Belgium Premier League, the Jupiler League. So having a great season so far. And then we also have a Junior Hoylet from Cardiff City, 29 years old, also a guy who has played 24 games for the Canadian national team. And finishing off with Liam Miller, who plays for Kilmarnock in the Scottish Premiership. 6 caps for Canada, 6 games of this season so far, and 1 goal for him.
Certainly, and Liam actually has become a starter now. Before he was not a regular, his father and his agent said in an interview publicly that they talked to Liverpool, his parent club, and decided to come back to Kilmarnock because the 12 appearances all came in the bench, except for that one start against Celtic where he was a star. But definitely give me your analysis. Of course, Kyle Lahren, who is a guy who many people 3-4 years ago had him as their number one forward, and he's having a good season. I mean, he's having a really good season in Belgium. You know, after a very frustrating 2 years at Besiktas, you know, he was sent on loan with an option to buy in the Belgian Jupiler League, and just today he actually had 2 goals and 2 assists. I got a chance to see that, and it's very impressive what he's kind of trying to get back to his level. But I think you have to be happy as a whole, because if a guy like Kyle Lahren is left off the roster, it also speaks to the quality and the depth in the competition that these guys, just because you're having a good season, you won't be guaranteed to be one of the 5 or 6 forwards in that group. And just to finish off, you know, Tetsuo Akindele as well, Juan, is a guy that was left off, and he's having a terrific season at Orlando City FC.
Yeah, sorry, just to finish up, I think the forward position is the one with a more solid and attractive competition. I think with Alfonso Davies and Jonathan David, both guys less than 20 years old and having a great season, I mean, great careers in Europe. Alfonso Davies, of course, he's rotating because he plays in such a big club as Bayern Munich. But him and Jonathan David playing in Europe, playing in top teams in their leagues, I think it's going to be quite difficult for the other forwards, Cavallini, Hoylet, Miller, and you said a couple more, Lahren and Akindele. It's going to be very, very difficult for them to get into this Canadian national team.
Certainly. So I think it's very important to talk about this right now, and it is Fakayo Tomori, who is a dual national. He was born in Calgary, raised in England, and his parents are from Nigeria. So he is eligible to represent 3 countries. He grew up in London, and he played for Chelsea. He was sent on loan a couple years back to play in Hull City, Brighton, and decided to play one last year as well. He's a guy that obviously Canada having a very, very, very weak position at center back. He's a guy that a lot of Canadian soccer fans had him as the one to get, the one to kind of, we need this guy. And the other name that was really bouncing up in people's heads was Ricardo Ferreira before of Braga in the Primera Liga, before he had that injury, and nobody knows what he's going to be back. So Tomori, he's a guy that he's accepted the call-up. He's accepted the call-up to play for the Three Lions in Euro 2020 qualifiers against Bulgaria and Czech Republic. So these are official FIFA matches, Juan.
Yes.
Should he were to see any playing time at all, either from the bench or as a starter, which it means that he is no longer eligible to represent Canada and would be taking off the eligibility list. And therefore, I guess we could say another one leaves the homeland and decides to represent. But I can't really blame him, too, because he only spent 5 months in Canada and he spent all of his life in England. And honestly, a lot of people didn't even think he had a shot at making it. But because Chelsea were slashed with the transfer ban, guys like Fakayo Tomori, among others, from, for example, Tabri Abraham as well, were given chances, you know, to play, you know. And being and playing for Chelsea, a very recognizable club in England, you have to be given a chance, and he has done quite well there. And he also said in an interview, he pretty much forced the FA's hand as well. He said that I'm eligible to play for three countries. I wasn't called up to any of them. And in an interview, and he kind of, you know, put pressure, and then he said we'll see what happens. So he kind of left things in suspense, and now he's been called up to England, and I think a lot of Canadian fans won't be happy about that.
Yes, of course. And I think, as we said before the game, before the show, sorry, he chose with his heart. He was only born in Calgary. And as you said, he only lived there for 5 months and then moved to England, where he grew up. He started playing football there with Chelsea. Well, it's not Man City or Liverpool, but it's still a big team in England right now, playing Premier League, of course, and Champions League. So he's playing both competitions. And I think he's going to it was a risky decision by him, because we don't have to forget, England had a very good last World Cup, and they have very good players as center backs. I hope he won't regret it in the future.
Certainly. And speaking of good players, I had a chance to interview Tristan Borges, arguably the best player of the league. And it is rumored that he is headed to Belgium at the end of the season. This is what he had to say in our one-on-one conversation. Take a listen.
Here with midfielder Tristan Borges. You're tied with Taron Campbell in the Golden Boot. What's the competition been like between you two?
Yeah, I think it's I kind of know him a little bit from before, playing with the youth of the national team program. And he's I always knew that he was a goal scorer, right? Obviously, this year he's been showing it, but that's not really something that I'm kind of focusing on. I'm really trying to focus game by game and just for the team, try to get 3 points every single game and to focus on the finals.
Is there one that particularly stands out, maybe the Olympic goal?
Yeah, that was a nice goal to score. But yeah, I kind of, every goal that I get, I just kind of see how it happened, what I did right, and just try to do it again for the next time.
Coming over from Holland in the U21 Eredivisie, do you think we'll see more Canadians from youth academies come back and try to showcase themselves to break through?
Yeah, I mean, that's a big thing about this league coming to Canada, right? It shows that we have a professional league to play in. And I think this first year really shown the quality and the quality of the players that have come to participate in this league. And it just shows that finally Canadians, especially the youth ones coming up, they have a league to look forward to, right? And just, you know, every situation is always different. But any situation that you feel kind of stuck in, there's always, you know, playing at home is always the best thing to do.
You trained with Martin Odegaard, Real Madrid product. What was it like being with him, and did he teach you anything in particular?
No, just him being in a professional environment, you can see that he translates it off, on and off the field, right? And just getting some pointers from him also, because I like playing in the same position as him, was great. And yeah, you can see he's very mature for his age, and just him being in that Real Madrid team really brings a lot of experience to him, even though he's only been there for a little bit. But any team that he goes to, you can see the quality that he brings.
You've represented Canada at all levels but one, the senior national team. Herman has publicly said that you've been in the conversations. Does it give you the extra motivation to keep working hard each and every day to get that call up?
Yeah, for sure. You know, for sure. I would love to represent my country, especially at the men's national team level. You know, it's been a great experience so far with the youth. And obviously, that's definitely something that would be a milestone in my career that I would love to check off. And that's obviously something that I'm trying to push forward, you know, to do. And obviously, my main goal is to focus with Forge. And but that's always at the back of my head to try to see if I can represent my country.
In March is the U23 Olympic qualifiers. How special would it be to qualify to Tokyo 2020 and be part of that team?
No, it would be a really special thing. I think it will really show the quality that we have here in Canada. And like I said, I think this league coming here is really going to start showing the type of players that we have and the high quality that we have. And just us qualifying for that would be amazing.
Now, I don't want to get you in trouble, but there are several reports that you are linked with clubs in Belgium. I know you can't comment on that right away, but if you could please just tell me, what would it be like to move overseas to Europe to get closer to playing in the big leagues?
I mean, I had the experience already a couple of years, and it was amazing being there, but I chose to come home for a little bit, and I've been loving it here for the year at Forge, and I just it's exciting to see for the future on what's going to happen.
Funny thing about Tristan Borges, we were talking about the other day when we were editing this interview, and we didn't know if to put him as a midfielder or as a forward. He's on the roster on the official website of Forge. He's listed as a midfielder, but he plays more as a winger, as a forward. He can score a lot of goals. Top scorer of the league, of course, with Terran Campbell from Pacific FC. So, yes, he's a player. He's still young. He's playing really, really well at Forge, and he said he's very happy in Canada, back in Canada. He already played in Europe a little bit, but I think in the future he's going to want to move back to Europe, right?
Certainly, and his parents are from Portugal, so he has the EU passport, which really helped him, you know, signing in head and then of the Eredivisie, you know, prompting that kind of move, you know, as opposed to if he was to get some sort of work visa or something like that. And really, I think not just Tristan Borges, but I think obviously because he is the goal scorer, that's who CanPL fans or Canadian footy soccer fans in general are always going to relate to. But there's a lot of really, really good players, you know, in other positions, defenders, goalkeepers as well. But Borges has been like the name that has standed out, besides obviously Carducci and Didic, who have been called up to the national team. But I really think Borges has a very high ceiling, and it's very, very hard to pinpoint exactly how far he can go. He was a former U23, U20 and U17 youth international. The U17s play this month at the U17 World Cup in Brazil. Let's talk about it. So the only professional player on that team is Cavalry's FC Arabin Pepel. The rest of the squad actually comes from TFC, Montreal Impact, Vancouver Whitecaps, academies. Yes. The big omission there is Simon Collin, which not a lot of people know why he was left off this roster. I think this is a very tough question for a guy like Andrew Olivieri, who is the head coach there.
Yes, yes, that was a really rare decision. But as you said, seven players come from the academy of Montreal Impact, eight from Toronto FC Academy, and six from Vancouver Whitecaps. I think linking this subject with the Canadian Premier League, I think this is one of the things that the CPL needs to focus on. The teams need to build their academies so the youth managers can have a bigger pool of players to rely on, and not only these three teams that compete, as we all know, in the Major League Soccer. I think FC Edmonton has a very healthy academy, but the other teams need to build their own. I think that's going to be not only for the teams, but only for the national team. I think that's going to be very, very important in the future.
Absolutely, Juan. And you know what? Academies are very, very important. They're very, very, very vital for success. And you can't have four professional academies, and every time there's a U20, U17 camp or tournament, you're only calling up players who are from three cities, not even, let alone just representing the country as a whole. Because I think it's very interesting. I'm someone who really likes demographics. And in terms of the city representation, I think Ontario is by far up there in terms of representation of players at all levels, from senior all the way to U17. So all those teams in between. But there is talent. There's talent in the Prairies. There's talent in the Maritimes. There's talent in the West Coast and Canada as a whole. Like, we have to maximize our potential. And just by talking to Jeff Paulson in an interview that I did with him, he talked about why he doesn't feel and think that academies will rise in the CPL, and that has to do a large part with the cost. It's just it just costs a lot of money to make these academies, and I really, really, really hope that if the first teams, I guess you could say, of the CPL clubs are successful enough and there's the budget for it, meaning once, you know, soccer kind of breaks through and is a mainstream sport, then several clubs can kind of invest in their academies. And obviously, the next time there's U20, there's a lot more CPL representation.
Yes, I mean, the good thing about the CPL is that these young players, they won't rely just on their professional teams, Toronto FC, Montreal Impact, and the Vancouver Whitecaps. They will have these other Canadian teams, the CPL teams, where they can gain some playing minutes. They can go back to their teams. They can move to other teams as well. But this is the good thing about the Canadian Premier League and how it's linked with the youth and the youth national team also, because these seven teams right now, hopefully they will have more teams in the future, will be a platform for these young players to develop their football, to gain playing time and being important not only for the league but also for the men's national team.
Certainly, and I'm really, really excited, Juan, and for the next year, because next year is the U20s, and a guy like Marcus Velado and Tyler Attardo are eligible to be on that team. And so we'll see how many guys from the CPL are called up to that U20 CONCACAF Championship squad, which is qualifiers for the U20 2021 World Cup, just a year ahead, obviously. So it should be interesting. It should be interesting to see the more and more, because you have to have professional players playing in your youth national teams, right? You got, if you have academy players, you know, the jump between first team football and academy is quite a big one. And somebody who knows a lot about that is Bobby Smirnotis. He's a guy that has developed talent, guys like Kyle Lahren, Mandragor James, and so forth. You know, he's established his own academy called Sigma, which has just produced players and players and players to go overseas. And he has many, many contacts in Europe. He's already previewing the CPL finals against Calvary. And this is what he had to say, how there are distinct matches about what we should expect in the final.
Listen, I think it's important that we take each match from now until then with the right mentality of going after 3 points. It's dangerous. We have 4 matches left, and we've got a few weeks till that final to think about that. One thing we've talked to our guys about is, you know, we'll look at each game. We're in a situation right now where we're playing every 3 days. So regardless of if we have a final on the 26th, we have to manage our squad. You know, we're finishing the season with 6 games in 18 days, so we have to be smart about how we move guys around. And today was indicative of that, but our depth is very good on the squad. I mean, Clyde steps in today in his first start, does a great job in there. Monty Motion on the left back side, so I'm very happy with their performance, and it keeps a positive thing for them also and for the team going forward. You can look at all the statistics in the world and about each round. The one thing I say is, you know, finals are distinct matches. So when it's 2 matches, it's not over. Let's say you have to pass 3-4 rounds to get there. I think there's positives and negatives to taking on both ends. You know, one thing we know is you come out with a positive result in your first leg, and you've got a good chance in the second one. And that's where we are, and that's what our mentality will be like.
Very, very interesting words from Bobby Smirniotis, because it's not only the words. I mean, they're actually showing that they're caring about these final matches of the fall season in the Canadian Premier League. Today we saw Calgary beating the Halifax Wanderers 2-0. And the other day we saw Forge live in action at Clark Field beating FC Edmonton 1-0. So even though they're Bobby Smirniotis and Tommy Wilden Jr., they're rotating their squads, of course, because of the fear of losing some players to injuries or to suspensions. They're actually getting other players who haven't played a lot playing minutes. The other day we saw Clyde Isella scoring his first ever goal in the Canadian Premier League. And but as you said it before, we heard Bobby, those are distinct matches. So no matter how the team comes, no matter if they have some injuries, if they are tired or whatever, these two finals are going to be totally unique in Canadian soccer history.
Yes, they are very, very deep. Both Calgary and Forge, you know, you can see in the spring, fall, and overall standings, the table speaks for itself. You know, the numbers do not lie. The finals, Juan, you and I, we could be attending Leg 2 in Calgary, unconfirmed right now. We're in the process of kind of seeing what our schedule would look like and see if it all kind of lines up. But wow. What it would be, you know, to just attend the inaugural final of the CPL, someone that maybe not a lot of people can say.
Yes, it will be historical. It will be, of course, very, very nice for us if we get the lucky applications and we can go to this final in Calgary, sorry. And yes, but there will be, it's going to be the match of the year because, of course, I think both teams will want to get a very good result on the first leg to be played in Tim Hortons Field in Hamilton, Ontario. But I think this final game at Spruce Meadows will be the real deal. The game that everybody wants to watch. Everybody wants to see these two really, really good forces of Canadian soccer, Forge FC, Cavalry FC, the teams that have led the season, I would say, throughout the year in Canadian Premier League. So I think it's going to be a really, really interesting match.
Certainly, and speaking of that match, obviously the fall winner was going to be given the option, the decision, to pick whichever match wanted to host, whichever leg, sorry. And it wasn't like that because, as many of you know, if you don't already, Forge FC is owned by Bob Young, and Bob Young is the owner of the Hamilton Tiger Cats. They share at Tim Hortons Field. And fortunately, depending on how you look at it, they are the primary tenant of that facility, of that venue, which makes it so that a bit of a scheduling conflict, you know, because the Tiger Cats are playing on November 3rd, and therefore it just wasn't possible to change up the dates. So I think the two clubs and the league just decided it was best to just agree on hosting a leg one and it's going to be very, very chilly in the November 2nd at Spruce Meadows.
Yes, it will for sure. But as Bobby Smirniotti said on the press conference following their victory against FC Edmonton, he doesn't care at all about if he's playing at home or playing away. I think, as he said, there are distinct matches. They're going to play both games at their fullest. They're going to try to win those games. It's going to be the final game of the season. Everybody's going to be there and everybody's gonna be watching on TV or whatever, so it's gonna be a really, really, it's gonna be an exciting game.
Definitely, and it's gonna be a celebration, right? It's gonna be a celebration of what has been accomplished all season. I've already been talking to people off the record from different clubs and they're already thinking of making the trip themselves just because their team and their city is not represented in this. They just feel like the atmosphere as a whole will just be kind of like a celebration, like a party. You know, this is like Canadian soccer as a whole, like just big, you know, somewhere where you want to be, right? And to finish off our inaugural Soccer on the Rise podcast, I just want to say thank you to everyone who listened to us for the first time ever on Last Word on Soccer. And big shout out over to the team, right? You know, they gave us this opportunity, and so we're very thankful to them. Until next time, guys, you know, next week, watch out for episode number 2. Thanks so much from Thomas Neff and Juan Pablo Avendaño. Thanks again. We'll talk to you guys next week. Bye.